Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is County Council Member Frank Commissar Jr. And Frank is going to talk about the fiscal health of the city of Albany. Hi, Frank. It was touch and go for a while as far as us connecting, and we finally did. How is the fiscal health of Albany?
Well, happy to be on the show with you, Cynthia. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
So, as I think many are aware, the city does continue to have challenges in front of it as it relates to city's finances. Particularly over the past couple of years, I mean, our fund balance has been greatly depleted. The 2014 audit is already well complete. And hopefully we will have the 2015 audit later this year. But even in 2014, the city spent over half of its savings or its fund balance in 2014. So fund balance is tightening. And, of course, the costs of city government are remaining the same. And there hasn't been a coordinated effort between the mayor's office and the common council to reduce expenses or achieve any real new sources of revenue. There's been attempts to achieve new sources of revenue, but those have not really panned out. And that's something that going forward, I hope that the city is more conservative in its budgeting going forward on revenue, rather than budgeting large amounts of anticipated revenue. Let's take a wait and see approach going forward so that we don't end up in situations where we have red light cameras underperforming or the sale of property underperforming. And that's been a real recent struggle and challenge for the city.
You know, when $2 million was proposed in the city budget, was allocated in the city budget as a projected revenue from the red light cameras, I thought, oh, my God, what a gamble that is. You know, it's, like, pretty frightening. So what revenue streams have you been looking at that has not panned out?
Well, you talked about the red light cameras, and I suppose it's quite easy to take a look at something after the ink is dried and then saying that we have some sort of outcome that we know about. But let's just play this full out. I mean, most recently, we received notification that the red light cameras in the city of Albany achieved $0 of net revenue. So that's something that certainly, you know, makes you have to go and think more broadly on a macro level about the decision-making process in the city. And the history on red light cameras is that this was an invention in 2014 that we thought would really change, well, that not we, but that the mayor and the majority of the common council thought would really change the city budget, as evidenced by budgeting $2 million in revenue for 2015 and $1.9 million in revenue for 2016. And, you know, when you budget $4 million in a new revenue over 2 years, you have to be really sure that you're going to have success there because you're really taking a big chance. You have a large dollar value associated with it. And, you know, when we looked at this, a minority on the Common Council, myself included, and a few other members, really took and looked at some of these other municipalities, called some of the other municipalities, conducted some research on our own, and we found that many municipalities across the country that had adopted red light cameras were either discontinuing their programs or had already discontinued their programs. So there was a sense there that, you know, at least among a few of us, there was some understanding that this was not going to be some great financial windfall for the city. And I think that there was other common council members who knew that as well, but for whatever reason, whether they didn't have the strength or courage at that time to stand up to the forces in City Hall and in the mayor's office, they were unable to vote no on the red light camera proposition. So that's frustrating. And again, I think there's a lesson to be learned there. Whether people are learning it on the common council, I don't know. You know, the other things that had come through related to the budget most recently, you know, we had a land sale in the 2015 budget where we projected a large amount of money for the sale of land that the city owned in Queemans. Didn't nearly come through to the extent of what we had budgeted. So, you know, when you have major line items, and the one I just mentioned about the sale of property came off by, was off by about $1.3 million, and you have red light cameras come off by $2 million, you really have problems built right into your budget. On the flip end, on the expense side of the budget, you know, there was things in 2015 where we really didn't contain costs. There was buyouts given to employees that were leaving city service that were excessive and beyond what the city policy recommended. And, you know, we had overtime numbers come in over well in excess of $1 million over budget. So it created this perfect storm where by the end of 2015, the mayor and the city treasurer actually had to go out and borrow money for short-term expenditures. And the notable part of that is not only did they have to go out for a short-term financial instrument or revenue anticipation note, but they didn't provide any notification to the public or the common council. They just went out on their own in the darkness of the night and went and borrowed $6 million. That's not the way that you need to run a municipality, certainly not in 2016. And, you know, I was glad that I was able to identify that practice. And hopefully in the future, you know, the mayor and treasurer will be coming to the common council related to when they go out for debt.
Now, the other bonus contention for the taxpayers is the trash fee. What's going on with that?
Well, the trash fee will be going up for a vote, for a repeal vote very shortly. And, you know, believe it or not, the support may actually be there for the repeal. I'm cautiously optimistic. I support the repeal of the trash fee. I voted against it in the first instance. The trash fee in Albany, as has been reported, is really something that I think divides the city. You're pitting the folks that are renting property, and say the rental units and renters, you're pitting them against homeowners here. I'm a homeowner. I do not have to pay the fee the way it was put together and the way that it was passed by the Common Council in January. However, I don't think it's an appropriate way to push forward policy to pit classes against each other. Rental units now and renters effectively through paying their rent will now have to pay $180 a year to put their trash out. Now, in addition to just creating a divisive situation, the other issue here is that, you know, if you look at policy and best practices as it relates to waste management, the problem is that when you have a fee, a flat fee of $180, that in no way, shape, or form is associated with the amount of trash that a household produces, there's no incentives there to actually reduce, reuse, or recycle. So that, too, is something that I think gives the public at large some level of pause, is that we're not really achieving any other public policy objectives with this new fee. And, you know, lastly, I also would say that there's my sense is that there's some silent thought out there that hasn't really come to the forefront yet, and that's perhaps because the owner-occupied homes haven't been charged the fee. But there is some sense out there that there's a public awareness that the city faces financial trouble and has financial challenges, and now having this discussion about, well, we need to generate revenue from waste management functions. Now that's suddenly a topic in the city of Albany, and there's been some articles written about it, and there's discussions at City Hall about generating revenue out of waste management, is something that isn't inspiring a lot of public trust. Again, similar to some of the revenue items I talked about before, you know, the public is starting to get a sense that there's a lot of cash grabs going on out of City Hall, that, you know, this is a city now that's starting to put itself together on fees and fines. That's not something that long-term, I think, builds trust with the public. I think they want more honest budgeting, more honest financial management, and that's something that, unfortunately, hasn't happened given the current combination of the mayor, the treasurer of the city, and the common council majority, that you haven't had that honest budgeting, and we're just building a city off of fees and fines, and that's something that I think needs to be reconsidered, and in fact, you know, we need to really reverse course there as a city. So hopefully, you know, people are starting to realize that that's what's happening in the city. And, you know, with time, again, we may see some change there. But, you know, at this point, It seems that they're rather intent on closing the deficit through fees and fines, and that's not really the right way to go about it.
Now, how long has Albany been in dire straits financially?
Well, the first thing I talked to you about was the fund balance, and with the fund balance now being driven down to such a very small amount, again, we have to see the audited numbers that we'll have later this year for 2015, but in many, my anticipation is that fund balance will be nearing $0. So it's really become more acute in the past handful of years. However, there's structural issues in the city that are not being addressed, and I think the costs of city government, when you continually just maintain a status quo approach to the expenses of city government and not take a real hard look at the expenses and the cost drivers in city government, and you don't make any changes, this is what's driving much of this now. And unfortunately, we're able to patch together some one-year reprieves from the state and some fees and some fines, but there is a day of reckoning on the horizon where sooner or later, the mayor, the treasurer, the common council in unison has to deal with real issues related to city government. And that hasn't come yet. But really, the most recent handful of years has been where the challenge has been most pronounced. The fixes to the city's budget problems and the city's financial problems, had they been proactively addressed in the past, perhaps we would have had a better trajectory. But we have increasing costs, and you have really flat revenue in many respects in the city. And that's just a combination for increased stress. And this stress is not something that's my opinion necessarily. It is my opinion, but also, there's other confirming data points out there. In fact, the state comptroller in the past handful of years put together a really good product for local governments and school districts called a fiscal stress monitoring test. And Albany, among cities in New York State, has the second worst score. So, it's here and now that you really need to have that more proactive approach in the city, and somebody needs to really authoritatively deal with these issues, and that's not happening now. You don't see the leadership coming out of the mayor's office, the treasurer, or the common council. You just don't see that now, and unfortunately, there's a handful of members on the common council, I think. We are a larger body. It's 15 members that I think see some of these things. However, there's a majority there that have been willing to submit to the will of the first floor of City Hall, and that's unfortunate.
Now, I know the mayor had gone to the governor and asked for $12.5 million. But before she did that, she incorporated that into the budget. If the governor had not been forthcoming in the $12.5 million, what would the fiscal health of the city be then?
Well, it's a good thing that the governor, and at least the governor and assembly and very hopeful the Senate in the next handful of days or week or two will come on board. But there's going to be $12.5 million for the city in this year, 2016, and that's great, fine, and well. However, a few notes about that. I mean, one is that's not new money per se. That's being taken out of another stream of money in future years. So, it's not a new revenue stream that we really wanted. Secondly, and this is kind of embarrassing for the city, is that the governor also, there was a string attached. There was a stipulation attached to this $12.5 million, and that was that the city had to develop a multi-year financial plan. And that you now have the top elected official in New York State telling the city of Albany that you need to have a multi-year financial plan, it's really embarrassing. I had worked in the state comptroller's office for 7 years. I've been in the county comptroller's office in the second year at the county comptroller's office. And, these are things that are widely recognized best practices. I don't even know why, in fact, these aren't required by law. But, having a multi-year financial plan is long overdue. You shouldn't need the governor of New York State to tell you to do that. But to his credit, the governor clearly is recognizing that the city has some severe challenges, and also has some severe management challenges as well, and that you know, you need to have this a plan in place so that you can see over time that you have rising expenses, you have flat revenue, and that you need to address that. You need to change the trajectory of where expenses and revenues are leading, which is to insolvency. Without that $12.5 million this year, the city would have been forced into a situation where employees would have been laid off. And that's not something that anyone desires. Nobody really wants to be in that situation. So, you know, how do we do things now to avoid that, whether it be in a year or 2 years? As I said before, it's very clear if you look at the city's financial statements, if you look at the city budget, and you really analyze what's going through as far as legislation through the Common Council Finance Committee and onto the floor of the Common Council, you can see that the city is just right now very much has the water to its chin, barely surviving. And again, there's been no real changes made in city government the past couple of years to amend the course that we're on.
Now, you know, you understand the situation in Albany very well. There's a handful of other cities upstate throughout upstate New York. Would you say that they're also in financial dire straits?
Yes, certainly. I mean, if you look at cities like Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, Utica, Yonkers, I mean, you look at some of the big upstate cities, you see that there's real challenges in place. In fact, even here locally in the capital region, Troy faces some challenges, and Schenectady does too, although Schenectady seems to have, over the past handful of years, become more stabilized as far as what's going on there with their finances and budget. That's just an outsider looking in. However, I mean, there's this, you know, if you're looking at it, and there's kind of two sets of causes most broadly, I mean, there's some environmental factors that certainly affects the upstate cities. That is, over the past many decades, you know, there's been significant job losses from upstate, and that is something that then you don't have the revenues coming into government at all levels, really, where you can continue to support growth in the size and scope of government. So that's one piece of it, most certainly. And Buffalo has lost some significant private jobs, Syracuse, Rochester. What really helps Albany, though, environmentally, is that, you know, we're the host of state government, and we do have a large, stable government workforce in place, and that really gives people the ability to pay property taxes and pay things like sales taxes and really stabilize your housing stock to some degree. So that's good. But then on the management end, I think is where Albany's really struggling. Even though we are the host of state government, we have that large stable base of employment, you know, we're not making any management decisions. I mean, we're merely just continuing on course at a slow to moderate pace, and there's no changes being made to how city government operates, whether it be on the revenue end of the budget or whether it be on the expense side of the budget. So that's, you know, the other end of this here is that, you know, there is management then, and yes, you have a set of environmental conditions which present some challenges, but how do you react to those challenges? And quite frankly, if I was looking at the city of Albany government now, across all the offices that are there, I mean, we're just failing as a organization to respond to the challenges that are being presented to us. And we're hoping that perhaps if we attach cameras to our traffic lights, or if we think we can get some great sale of land, or if we think the state's going to provide some bailout to us, that all will get better. And there's still some underlying foundational factors that just aren't changing. And I think we have to do a better job of recognizing that and then proactively responding to it.
Now, do you think a major cause of the problems in the city of Albany is the fact that so many properties are tax exempt?
Well, I think that let's kind of parse that out, because there's some big issues there. There's a whole host of issues there. I mean, one is at the corners of Fuller and Washington, you know, we have this sprawling, huge nanotech complex that has been funded by federal and state government and is tax exempt from local taxation. So you really have a level of subsidy built in from all levels of state government into the corner of Kohler and Washington, where billions, with a B, of dollars have been invested. And on the other end of that, I mean, you have private, for-profit companies that are hosted in that complex. So to many casual observers, and even the observers that are really paying close attention across the board, you know, you have this reaction of people saying, how is it that there's no tax revenue being driven out of this entire complex where you have billions of dollars of investment? And, you know, of course, I think that leads to some broader thoughts and about the charitable exemption, which really hurts the city in many instances, that if these not-for-profits are designated to be a charitable entity under the tax code, they're exempt from taxation. So then you think about Albany Medical Center, St. Peter's, St. Rose, Albany Law, Albany Pharmacy, and, of course, we're the home of state government, as I mentioned before, and, you know, that has its positive effects that I noted before, but it also has the effect of creating a whole host more of tax-exempt property. So now the city is well over 60% tax-exempt. We'll get some finalized numbers in the near future because the city's conducting a reassessment, but that certainly is one of the environmental challenges that the city faces. And, you know, I think one of the good things that has happened in recent years is we've been able to get some minimal contributions from not-for-profit entities. However, when you look at the size and scope of the SUNY Poly, or what is also referred to as the nanotech complex on Fuller and Washington, and you look at the contributions that have come back into local government, it certainly makes clear why you have a city government and a school district that is really struggling in the city of Albany. So I think really the state, New York State, and even across the country, because there are many municipalities, particularly state capitals, that are affected by the not receiving revenue from tax-exempt properties, there needs to be a total look at what's going on with these. I mean, if you look over the past decade, the growth in many cities has been educational facilities and medical facilities, and that's true here as well. And, you know, that has the effect of, again, choking off local government. I'm talking about counties, cities, school districts, libraries, from needed revenue, because there's still services to support for the people that work there and for the institutions themselves. So that is, you know, a real challenge. And I think the city has to take a harder stance with state government to say, this is unacceptable to have no reimbursement whatsoever for these entities. Particularly the for-profit entities. My understanding is that SUNY Poly has dozens of for-profit companies where there's shareholders that are making large sums of money, and much of that's being done on the backs of City of Albany residents. So that has to change, and I think the city needs to really take a far more aggressive stance as it relates to that.
Now, what you had just said, what you just outlined, in comparison to, like, an initiative by the mayor that straps the taxpayer, the homeowner, even more and creates more of a fiscal problem to the average homeowner in the city of Albany, does that frustrate you?
Well, if you're referring to that the city has a homestead and non-homestead provision in place where we have different tax rates for residential and commercial properties effectively, that's something that on balance at the surface level benefits the homeowner. However, because we have such large amounts of tax-exempt property and because we really don't have a thriving private sector economy here in City of Albany, you know, that's driven tax rates to the point that now a combined rate for a local homeowner is about $36. And on the commercial end, it's actually higher. It's about $46. We actually pushed a little more levy over to the homeowner this past year on a discretionary basis, something I disagreed with. But, you know, having those rates be so high, again, 36 and 46 for homeowners and commercial properties, respectively, really has this negative impact on people either wanting to stay in the city of Albany And that could be businesses, or it could be a young couple that, you know, decides to move from the city of Albany. So we're having difficulty retaining people, and we're also having the difficulty attracting people. More often than not, you hear people with good-paying jobs moving out of the city of Albany rather than moving in. Now, there is some attractiveness to urban life that many people like. I like it. There's a lot of good things to do in the city of Albany, so we are able to retain some folks. But we're having difficulty right now being competitive against even some of our suburban neighbors like Colony or Bethlehem or Guilderland, because in part because of the disparity between our tax rates. And that applies for, again, families at the individual level, and it also applies to businesses. So that's something that certainly the city needs to address. But again, the core issue, when you talk about tax rates, I mean, you have to come back to the city budget and look at your tax levy. And when you have a tax levy of $57 million in the city of Albany, that's just something that is not going to attract investment. It's not going to make people make the decision to stay. So long as you have budgetary problems where your revenue and your expenses are in this long-term misalignment, that will result eventually in either a large tax increase or significant service cuts, that's, you know, you're just not going to be competitive there. And that's something that, you know, it takes a little vision to see out 3 years and 5 years and 7 years. But if you make some challenging decisions now, I think you can see some benefits come back to us again in that intermediate to long term. And we can actually have a stable tax rate that's competitive with our neighbors.
Frank, thank you so much. After April 1st, will you have more to report?
Well, yeah, I mean, we meet the first and third Monday of the month, so there's always new items coming through.
No, I'm sorry, the state budget. The state budget. In other words, is it a given that we're going to get the 12.5?
Well, there's a lot of optimism there, because when you have the support of the governor and you have the support of the assembly, you know, there's a lot of optimism there for the 1 year, $12.5 million. That would come to the city. However, I mean, there is a Senate as well. So, no, I mean, nothing is final until it's final. And you know, again, I think that there's some senators as well, though, that, you know, realize this is a state capital and you know, they need to do the right thing here while still, you know, hopeful that, again, with that multi-year financial plan we talked about, that there would be some changes going forward in the city of Albany. But I think for 2016, you know, we can breathe a little easy for the moment.
Frank, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. I hope
Great. Thank you, Cynthia.
I hope you'll come on again.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you let me know. I'm happy to be on.
Okay, great. You've been listening to Frank Camisso Jr., who's a Common Council member. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you have any comments or criticisms or questions about this show, go hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.